Okay, and we'll record directly there. Okay, good evening, everybody. I feel like I'm surrounded by devices. Okay, good evening, and they're all mine. Good evening, everybody. So let us begin with two questions, as we normally do. So two shilas that came up this week. One shila I just got this afternoon, and it went as follows, from a Rav. Hi, Rebbe. Quick shila. Is it permitted for someone to have a baby nurse for nights who says she is Jewish, but not at all observant, come to work on Friday night? She lives about a half hour walk away, but it's going to be freezing. I don't know if you know that. It's going to be freezing this weekend. That's what they say. I think 18 degrees or something. And it's not reasonable to expect that she will walk over. So you know that she's going to drive. She doesn't have to drive. She could walk, but it's not reasonable to assume that she will walk. So can you hire a baby nurse who's going to take a car, who's going to drive on Friday night? Is there okay, that's not the first time I've gotten that shaila, but that's the shaila came up today. Another shaila came up this week from someone who said that a guy told me, I mean, he didn't, I'm telling you, that this guy told me that his younger sister lives in Neve Yaakov. Now, as we're all painfully aware, what happened in Neve Yaakov last Shabbos, I happened to have been in Israel last Shabbos, so you guys all found out before me what happened in Neve Yaakov. I was at a kiddush on Shabbos morning, and in Yerushalayim, and I was talking to an old friend of mine, and I was asking how his family is doing and what's up, and he said that his daughter works in some sort of unit where she responds to terror attacks, you know, based on intelligence, and I don't know what she does exactly, but he said, you know, she had to be called in last night. And I said, what? What are you talking about? And he said, well, you didn't hear about the pigua. So that's how I found out on Shabbos morning. But but here in America, because of the seven-hour time difference, everyone found out on Friday afternoon about this pigua in Neve Yaakov. So this guy told me his younger sister lives in Neve Yaakov, and his parents, who live in America, were extremely nervous when they heard about the pigua on Friday night. So they wanted to get a sense of exactly where in the neighborhood it was. They know the neighborhood, so they thought if they start looking at the videos, because what happens when something like this happens? Everyone takes out their phones and they start taking videos of, you know, the first responders coming and things like that, and the whole scene. So they wanted, and Neve Yaakov is a neighborhood that has a lot of frum people and some not so frum people, so there are a lot of Jews that were just, you know, took out their phones and were taking videos. So the parents wanted to know, are they allowed to look, are they allowed to watch these videos of the scene to get a sense, is it a place where their daughter would have been? Will they be able to see if their daughter's in any of the videos? Is it, right? Meaning to sort of set their nerves at ease a little bit. Or is that a problem? Because these are Jewish people that are taking videos on Shabbos. It's certainly not pikuach nefesh for them to be taking those videos. Is there a nisser with them watching those videos on Friday afternoon in America? So those are the two shilas. So again, shila number one is, can you have a baby nurse come on Friday night knowing that she's very likely going to drive and she claims that she is Jewish? And shaila number two, can the parents of a girl who lives in Neve Yaakov watch the footage of the cell phone cameras of non-from Jews or Chiloni Jews who are taking the videos on Shabbos? So let us vote. All those, we'll start with those present in the room. Zoomers are welcome to vote on the chat. All those who want to talk about shaila number one, the baby nurse on Friday night. Okay, all those who want to talk about shaila number two. Okay, looks like a lot more shaila number two. And then on the chat we have 2-1-2-please with an exclamation point. Does that count as a second vote? I don't know, that's tough. 1-2-1-1-2. Well, pretty split, but it looks like two is going to win because in the in-person voting. Okay, so let's start with shaila number two. Maybe we'll mention at the end what the answer is, shaila number one as well. Should I do shaila number three? No. Okay. So the answer is, it goes like this. This is one of the beautiful things about Torah, is that where do you find the answer to this question? So you would think the primary sugya would have to be in Maseches Shabbos. So Chulin Daf Tezvav, right? The primary sugya is Chulin Daf Tezvav. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Tezvav tells us that a person is not allowed to get hana'ah from malacha that was done by a Jew on Shabbos, right? Meaning if a Jew did malacha on Shabbos, he's not allowed to get hana'ah from it. So the Gemara quotes a three-way machlokas that's that we're going to present right now, from the most mekil to the most machmir. Right? What does that mean? You're not allowed to get. Who's not allowed to get anah? The guy that did the malacha. When are you not allowed to get anah? On Shabbos? Does it make a difference if he did the malacha b'mezid, b'shogeg? Like, how do we look at all this? So according to Rabbi Meir, who's the most mekil of the three opinions, if the malacha was done b'shogeg, the person who did the malacha and everybody else may get hana'ah from the malacha on Shabbos. Meaning b'shogeg, no problem. You're allowed to get hana'ah from the malacha on Shabbos. However, if the malacha was done b'mezid, both the guy who did the malacha and everybody else, acherim, are not allowed to get hana'ah from the malacha on Shabbos, but as soon as Shabbos is over, or as soon is a bit of a controversial phrase to use in this context, but when Shabbos is over, they're allowed to get hana'ah from the malacha. So while it's still Shabbos, they're not allowed to get hana'ah from the malacha. Once Shabbos is over, they're then allowed to get hana'ah from the malacha if it was mezid. Let's just pause right there for a second. Right? Let's assume for a moment we paskin like Rav Meir. Because remember, Rav Meir is the most mekel opinion. Right? So if the most mekel opinion is not going to help us, then the more machmir opinions aren't going to help us either. So let's discuss for a moment. Is there room to be mekel within Shitas Rav Meir? Meaning, what would Rav Meir say? First of all, was the video taken to Shogeg? No, it was very much taken to Mezid, right? These are Jews, they know it's Shabbat. This was outside of a shul where people were davening the tefillot Shabbat, so they know that. So it was b'mezid, right? So if it was b'shogeg, we wouldn't have a problem, right? According to our Meir, you'd be allowed to get enough, but it's not b'shogeg; it's b'mezid. So what's halacha b'mezid? Bein hu bein acherim are not allowed to get anah on Shabbos, but they're allowed to get anah after Shabbos. So nu, what would you say? What about before Shabbos, right? They don't discuss. What about before Shabbos? Because it's when you're getting the anah, it's not Shabbos. Is this like a din that in Shabbos you're not allowed to get the anah? Or is it a din that you have to wait until after that Shabbos ends, after Shabbos is over? So what do you think? What's the svara? What? It's a knas, yeah. Then you have to wait more time, right? It can't be that you're going to win by taking advantage of the time zone, right? If it's a knas, meaning we're trying to discourage you from benefiting from the fact that someone did melacha. So if you wait till after Shabbos, right? If you wait till after Shabbos, then the gain is very minimal because you could have just done the melacha then, right? If you wait till after Shabbos. But before Shabbos, you actually are gaining from it. So lichora, pashtus is, it would be usher before Shabbos also. So lichora, even according to Shitas Rav Meir, you have a problem. Now, if that's the case, why even go through the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda and the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan Sander? Because this is learning Torah, and that's what you're supposed to do. Ooh, someone asked me a question on the thing. If I'm asked the Rav Yishayel on this topic, how could anyone in America have read the incoming news articles about the Bikua when they were published in Lel Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael? Is it not similar to our case, like watching the footage? Ah! Oh! Good, right? Meaning, it's not just about parents who have a daughter that they're worried about. It's about any of us watching. I was in Eretz Yisrael, so I didn't see any of the footage. But you all saw the footage. No, you all saw. Everyone was on all their Arutz Sheva and whatever else, and getting the news. How are you allowed to do that? These are all Jews that are producing the news. Okay, so let's go through the sugya a little more carefully. So you have Rav Meir. Now, the second sheet is Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda holds that if the melacha was done bishogeg, no one is allowed to get benefit from it on Shabbos, but after Shabbos, everyone's allowed to get benefit from it. Meaning, what Rav Meir holds about a malacha b'mezid, Rabbi Yehuda holds about a malacha b'shogeg. Right? That on Shabbos can't, but after Shabbos he can. If the malacha was done b'mezid, then the guy who did it is never allowed to get benefit from it. The guy who did it is asur b'anah forever, and other people can get benefit from it, but only after Shabbos. Right, that's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, a little more machmir than Rabbi Meir. Even more machmir than that is Rabbi Yochanan Sander. Rabbi Yochanan Sander says if the melacha was done b'shogeg, then the guy who did it may never get benefit from it, and other people can benefit from it, but only after Shabbos. Meaning, what Rabbi Yehuda holds about mezid, Rabbi Yochanan Sander holds about shogeg. That continues to line up. What Rabbi Meir holds about mezid, Rabbi Yehuda holds about shogeg. Where Rabbi Yehuda holds about mezid, Rabbi Yochanan Sander holds about shogeg. Rabbi Yochanan Sander says that if the malacha was done b'mezid, no one is allowed to get benefit from it ever. right? Which would mean that you would never be allowed to watch those videos or the footage of such a thing, such an attack. So that is, those are the three shittos. Now, how do we paskin? So the Torah quotes Machlok Rishonim, how to paskin. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Aleph paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, the middle shita, that if the melacha was done v'shogeg, everyone could get benefit from it on Motzai Shabbos. If it was done b'mezid, which is the case over here, it was done b'mezid, it's asr forever for the guy who did it, and it's mutter for everyone else on Motzai Shabbos, if it was done b'mezid. But only on Motzai Shabbos. So that is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that's the shita of the Shulchan Aruch, and that's the Shulchan Aruch Paschus. Now, the Gra is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Zayin to Paschus like Rav Meir. Now, again, Rameir holds, Malacha is done b'shogeg, everyone's allowed to get hanah from it right away. If it was done b'mezid, everyone can get hanah from it, but only after Shabbos, right? So according to the Gra passes like Rameir, that you can, if it were b'shogeg, you'd be fine, but if it's b'mezid, which it seems to be, then only after Shabbos. Yeah, Pinchas? Where does this appear? Simin Shin Yud Ches in Shulchan Aruch, which is the dinim of Bishul Daraisa on Shabbos. The first sif in Simin Shin Yud Ches in Or Chaim is about this, but we apply it to all malachos, not just the Bishul. What do you mean? Because the server is in a third country, so what? You're getting enough from this person's Maisa on Shabbos. The person's doing a Maisa Aveira on Shabbos. Yeah. Even though the server that's capturing the video or whatever, you know how this works. I don't know, but I don't think.
Is it so simple to say that it's
amazing
if you consider these people that maybe they never have Shabbos in their life? Is that like
Tiruk Shnishpa? So is a Tiruk Shnishpa enough to call it a shogeg? It's enough to say that that maybe they'd be mitzarif to a minion. You know, that they're not dino ka'akum, but to call it a shogeg, hard to say. It's hard to say someone that lives in Israel, that they know that, you know, that Haredim don't do this on Shabbos, not just Haredim, they know that you know, that he person doesn't do this on Shabbos. And they know what Shabbos is, hard to say. They live in Ve'yakum, they don't live in, like, name your secular neighbor, you know. Yeah.
You said there's a reason to allow them to watch it, to know if
We'll get to it in a second. So now, before we get there though, Mishabura says that b'makom atzorech you could be maker like the Gra, you need to follow Rav Meir, but again, it doesn't help us over here. B'makom atzorech, when there's tzorech, you could follow the Gra. Mishabura has another kula. He says that if it's an Isser Drabanan, then that was done b'shogeg, then everybody's allowed to get hana immediately. If it was only an Isser Drabanan that was done b'shogeg, so we might be a little more makel if it's an Isser Drabanan. Is this an Isser Drabanan or an Isser Daraisa? Pashtus says it's an Isser Drabanan. It's some sort of kosev midrabanan or bone, maybe midrabanan, probably not even that. Something midrabanan. And another kula we have, Mishnah Berurah says that if there's a machlokas, whether that which the person did is asr at all, then everyone would agree you're allowed to get benefit from it on Shabbos, even if it was done b'mezid. So if using your cell phone to take a video were a machlokas, sadly it's not, but if it were a machlokas, then even if the person did it b'mezid, everyone would be allowed to get benefit from it. Now, here's the thing. Let's talk about a mumar. Let's talk about someone who's not at all religious, who's a machal Shabbos, who doesn't, Shabbos is not babi cheshbon for them. So, normally, if a Jew does malacha on Shabbos, you're not allowed to get benefit from it, but other people are allowed to get benefit from it after Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah adds that even if a Jew cooked specifically for you, it's mutter after Shabbos. However, the Ksav Sofer adds a tonight to this, that if a Jew cooks for you on a permanent basis, meaning he is your chef, then it's usher forever. Meaning if that's his job, he's the one who cooks for you, then it's usher, even for you. And he, not just for him to eat, but for you to eat. And he says that the whole reason you're allowed to benefit from the food after Shabbos is because you're not going to ask the Jew to cook for you. Like the Magen Avraham said, he's not going to listen to you. But in our case, where he's doing it constantly for you and he doesn't care about Shabbos, he will listen to you when you ask him. So you're not allowed to get benefit from that malacha. Meaning the whole reason why you're allowed to get benefit from a malacha done by a Jew in certain circumstances is because we're not concerned that you're going to come to ask him to do it for you. Because he's a Jew. You wouldn't ask him to come do it for you, and if you did ask him, he would never listen because he's a Jew. But if it's a mumar and you ask him, he will listen, right? So then it's going to be aser. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank disagrees with this ksef sofer in the Tshuva and Hartzvi in some Kufpei, and he says you can't make up new gzeros. Meaning, it's I get the svara, he says, but you're making up a brand new gzeros that doesn't exist in the Gemara or the Shulchan Aruch. So you can't just make up new gzeros, no matter how mistaber they are. So this is very relevant. Meaning, can you check the Israeli news online after Shabbos? After Shabbos, meaning forget about this case where the pikuah was Friday night and people were looking on, you know, when it was still Shabbos in Israel. Can you check after Shabbos? So according to the Ksef Sofer, since they're intentionally violating Shabbos on a consistent basis, any article or picture that's produced on Shabbos is always usher, and you're never allowed to read it. Right? It was done b'mezid. So even but according to Rav Pesach Frank, you could read the article after Shabbos. Perhaps B'kitei Shiyasu, you'd have to read B'kitei Shiyasu. Question is there such a thing as B'kitei Shiyasu over here, where there's an event that you can no longer capture because it's the time has passed? You know, so that's when it comes to getting Hanafa and Malacha after Shabbos. On Shabbos, though, L'chorah, it's absolutely aser, which causes us a problem over here. Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes in Shmir Shabbos that you're not allowed to call a non-religious co-worker when you're in America and it's Shabbos for him in Israel. You're not allowed to call him on the phone. Why? Because then you're getting hanah from the melacha that he's doing on Shabbos, right? And you're not allowed to get hanah from the melacha on Shabbos. Although I'm not sure. I mean, the Shmir Shabbos paskens in a footnote that if you're in America, you're not allowed to watch a live broadcast from Israel or log onto a website that's updated with content on Shabbos in Israel. So that addresses that question, right? It probably was a problem for everybody to be watching the news on, assuming that it was, meaning if you're watching just from AP sources or something, so it's probably non-Jews that are doing most of the work, right? You know, but if you're watching from Ruth Sheva or whatever, you're watching Jewish sources, so that l'chora is a bigger problem. It's interesting, I got the following shaila this week. A Talmud of mine, probably my oldest Talmud, from my first year teaching. He's like 4 years younger than me, you know, like I started teaching when I was very young. He wrote to me, he just got a new job, and he wrote to me, the questions pertain to the extent to which I have to go to avoid the partner in Israel, meaning it's an Israeli company, very small company, and he's in Connecticut, and one of the partners, both partners live in Israel. So he said, do I have to avoid the partner in Israel when it's Shabbos for him? He works American hours and only one partner in Israel. He works American hours and interacts with the office on Fridays when it's already Shabbos in Israel. I would assume I should not initiate contact with him. But what if he calls me? What if he emails me? What if I need to respond to an email that he's CC'd on? What if he's already speaking with someone else at the firm and they want me to join in the conversation? We're both on a firm-wide conference call or one that's initiated by a third party. What do we do then? And he writes that, for context, the firm is very small and has two partners. Oh, here it is. One in the Connecticut office and the other in Israel. Both partners and one of the senior analysts are Jewish. They have varying levels of affiliation. The partner in Connecticut is the president of his Orthodox shul, though I don't think he's Shomer Shabbos, and I know he doesn't keep kosher. The senior analyst lives in the Stanford community, but is not Shomer Shabbos, doesn't keep kosher outside of his home, but characterizes himself by saying that the shul he doesn't attend minyan at is Orthodox. It's cute, right? He said, right, the shul I don't go to is Orthodox. The partner in Israel, I don't know as well, but is not religious, though may have a brother who ended up Chabad. So he has some shaykhus to religion. Obviously, halacha is prime, and so whatever is required goes in terms of my obligations regarding lifnei iver or any other halacha considerations. But I'm concerned about both an uncomfortable work dynamic, if I cannot answer if the Israeli partner calls me, as he's my boss, and I'm not sure if it figures into the calculus here, but I'm worried to some extent about turning them off regarding orthodoxy, especially in the case of the senior analyst. I get the impression that none of them grew up from, and that the partner and the senior analyst possibly have the potential to move closer. Regarding the Israeli partner, I have no idea, but would guess he's more static in his relationship to Judaism. Thank you again for your help and guidance. Right? So what would you say over there? So can he answer the emails? Can he pick up? Can he answer the phone call? Can he get on the conference call? Right? What would you tell him about such a case? So l'chora, we just learned that when you're approaching it from the perspective that we've been approaching it from a Maisa Shabbos perspective, and that you're getting hana'a from someone's Maisa Shabbos, I don't know. Is that called that you're getting hana'a from Maisa Shabbos? When you receive an email from someone or you send an email to somebody, that you're getting hana'a from the fact that he's reading it? You're not getting any hana'a from the fact that he's reading it.
What?
No, so if he's sending you information, maybe in Echanam you're getting Hana. If he's speaking to you on the phone, maybe in Echanam you're getting Hana. But if you're just sending him something and he's reading it, you're not getting Hana from that.
Then you're going to get a better reading
there. Yeah, that's very indirect Hana. That's
okay.
So the real relevant issue over there is a Lifnei Iver issue, right? Meaning in the case that we're talking about, in our original case, it's not a Lifnei Iver issue because these people are taking their videos anyway for whoever is going to watch it. They don't really care whether you're going to watch it or not. It's not a Lifnei Iver. But in this case, with the work case, it's a Lifnei Iver Shaila. So I asked Rav Shechter about the work case, the guy taking the job, and he was totally mekel. First he said, I don't know, if there's a phone call that's already connected, and the fellow is talking into the phone, is he even doing an Isser? What aver is he doing exactly? So okay, it's not the yeshivish thing to do, right? We don't recommend that. Like, you know, you just keep the phone connected all Shabbos, and you know, keep the Zoom going all Shabbos, and just keep talking to whoever's on the other end of it, right? But is it so pashut that there's an isra that's being done? That was his first point. His second point was that, but when it comes to lifnei iver, so the klal is, we've discussed many times, when it's chalav or denaro, when it's something that the person could have done the avera without your help, and the person is not religious, the person doesn't really care whether they're doing the avera or not, so they're mumr l'chal Shabbos, so the shach writes in Yerodeya, the Dogma Vava elaborates on the shach, that there's no iser of lifnei iver when it's chalav or denaro. So maybe, and that was his primary tzad l'hakel. And Rav Shachter said, the guy should just keep in mind that he could slowly, over time, subtly try to have an impact on them, not directly, but by saying, you know, it's Shabbos for me, and I really, you know, start by saying when he needs to take off Shabbos, describing Shabbos, how it hurts him, you know, or it's difficult for him to talk to people that are, you know, whatever, he could slowly, slowly try to have an impact in terms of a sensitivity toward Shabbos over the course of time. But Meikra Din, he thought it would be mutter. Yeah?
I'm not sure I missed
up
this here, but why is
this tray? So Rav Shechter thought because he's going to be at work anyway. He's going to be on his computer anyway. Is it Lemaynav Kamina whether he's emailing you or he's you know, going on the internet? Lemaynav Kamina whether he's on the phone with you or, you know, doing whatever else he's going to be doing. He's at work. Everything he's going to be doing is going to be malacha. So that's what Rav Shechter thought. I would have thought that if you don't give him a reason to pick up the phone, then he's not going to be picking up. But Rav Shechter thought that that's still called chayav or denaro, because whatever he's doing at work is going to be malacha anyway, and he's likely to do it. I mean, he's likely to do those malachos. You know, one could argue that if you hold his attention for long enough, you may be preventing him from doing malacha. You know, Maisha has like a svara where he talks about trading shifts if you're a resident. Right, so is a frum person allowed to, you know, who gets assigned a Shabbos shift, allowed to switch to a Sunday with a non-frum person, where the non-frum person will be doing Shabbos? Or is that lifnei iver? So Rav Moshe was very big into, like, don't invite non-frum Jews to your house on Shabbos, because it's mesis, and it's lifnei iver, and it's every Yisr in the world, and, you know, you can't have them drive to your house. Rav Moshe is mekel that you're allowed to trade a shift. And he says, you're saving them from all sorts of malachos. At home, they're going to do all sorts of malachos. In the hospital, what are they going to do already? Half the cases will be pikuach nefesh, where it's mutter. And even the cases that aren't pikuach nefesh, how many malachos are they going to do already in the hospital? Probably not nearly as many as they would be doing at home. So probably, net-net, you know, you're probably saving them from malachos. So maybe if you really grab the guy's attention, you know, sometimes people multitask, so you don't really have his attention. You're talking on the phone, but you hear the clicking of the keyboard, so you don't have his attention so much. But if you really grab the guy's attention, you know, maybe you'll cause him to do fury. So, you know, we did mention that the Mishnah Berurah is makel to rely on the sheet of the Gra, the Makom HaTzorech. There's a fascinating discussion what's called Makom HaTzorech. Again, it won't help us in this case anyway. But what's called Makom HaTzorech? The Ramah in Siman Shin Chaf Hei Paskins that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to bring drinks and food through Rosh HaSarabim if it's Letzorech HaShabbos. Mishubur explains, Tzorech HaShabbos means things that you usually need for the Shabbos Su'uda, like beer, which was the most common drink at the time. But if you're just getting payros that are not necessary for the meal, then you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew for it. So it would seem that extras are not called Makom HaTzorech. There is a discussion in contemporary poskim how much of a Tzorech is chalit. Right, so going back to our Navy Shaila, right? How much of a tzorech is cholent? Is that, you say, like, what kind of Jew doesn't have cholent on Shabbos? So even if you have other food, the cholent is a tzorech. Or do you say, come on, there are plenty of other food to eat, you don't need to. Okay, so that's an interesting discussion. Now, the one fact that we didn't consider over here is the general mental health of the parent, right? Meaning, going back to our case, where there are parents that are nervous, they're worried sick about their child, and they don't know what's. So, if the parent suffers from some sort of crippling anxiety and depression, you know, there may be much more room to be makel. This whole issur is an issur midrabbana, right? This is not an issur midaraisa. So l'tzaruch chola, you could be makel an issur midrabbana. So how do you define even a chola she'en bo sakana, a gzeira midrabbana, you could be makel. Rav Shach points out, not a malacha drabbana, but a gzeira drabbana. So the issur of benefiting from Maisa Shabbos is not a malacha drabbana, right? When you benefit from Maisa Shabbos, you're not violating, like let's say someone cooks something and then you eat it. By eating it, you're doing bishul midrabanan? You can't say that. That's ridiculous, right? You're not doing bishul midrabanan. You're violating a gzeira, lest you come to whatever, right? Lest you come to do malacha, to ask others do malacha, whatever it might be. But it's a gzeira midrabanan. That's Rav Shach has in Eretz Tzvi, the difference in gzeiros and malachos. So gzeiros drabanan, we're allowed to violate for a chalashem basakana. So is this, are these parents a chalashem basakana? So we're missing a piece of information over here. Right? Meaning, if they're a Chol HaShem B'Sakana, then yeah, then they're allowed to watch it. If they're not a Chol HaShem B'Sakana, then they're not allowed to watch it. So it's a tricky question to ask. Because when it comes to mental health, it's not always easy to measure when someone has reached the point of a Chol HaShem B'Sakana. Right? I've pointed out in the past, I think probably to this group, I'll often ask people, let's say when I have a meeting with a Chassan and Kala before they get married and they want to know, can they go on birth control? So you want to talk about, well, you know, do you suffer from anxiety? Because people who suffer from anxiety very often need to take changes in life slowly, right? Not to have one change right after the other. So you know, I'll say, do you have issues with anxiety? And sometimes a kala will say, I sometimes feel anxious. And I'll say, like, you know, I sometimes feel upset, but I don't have an anger problem. You know, like, it's not, meaning, it's not, everyone sometimes feels anxious, but there's and it's a broad range, right? There are people that are completely crippled by their anxiety, and it leads to depression, and then there are people that have mild anxiety, then there are people that are on meds, and people not on meds, and people in therapy, and not in therapy. So you have a broad range. So how do we define Chol HaShem B'Sakana? So typically, you define Chol HaShem B'Sakana as someone who can't function. They just can't go through the day. They'll be in bed all day. They're not going to be able to function. So it could be. It could be that this parent is going to be in such a predicament. If that's the case, then probably there is Makom LaHakel. But if that's not the case, so the fellow that asked me, that told me this Shaila, I told him, go ask Rav Shachter and come back to me and tell me what he says. That's often what I do in the Beis Medrash when people come over to me with a Shaila in the Beis Medrash. Right there in the front, there's a guy that knows a lot of stuff, you know, like, go ask him and then come tell me what he said. So he asked Rav Shachter. Rav Shachter thought not, that they should not be looking at the videos, that it was not appropriate. He raised the possibility that maybe, you know, maybe if it's if they really become a chola, whatever. But he got the impression that he was not in favor of it. He didn't think that they should be watching this stuff on Friday. So that is that. Am I missing anything?
Tony?
Come on, Gabe. You can tell me. Am I missing something? No.
What?
Is that? I don't think you have to be choshesh that they might be. First of all, there's no animus on Shabbos. Second of all, you don't have to be choshesh. Well, there's Friday for that. You know. But second of all, you don't have to be choshesh. You know, when as tragic and horrible and unthinkable as, the, you know, how young life is and all life, you know, seven lives were just taken just like that. Neve Yaakov is a lot of people, you know, so like I don't think you have to be choshish that, you know, that they're an own name.
You know, 100% that they were Jews taking it, the video?
Is it possible that there were non-Jews who's hanging around? I don't know, are there Arabs in the neighborhood there?
It's next to an Arab neighborhood.
It's right next to an Arab neighborhood, that's how the Pikuah happened. Unlikely that it's Arab. I mean, Ruba de Ruba de Ruba. You got to imagine that it's Jewish people.
Do you reckon that's, even though it's likely Jewish people, like, if you let's say give your clothing into a clinic, you don't have to worry that they don't have Shabbos, enough time not to do it on Shabbos. So, it's the same way if you hire the news, you're going to, like, pay
it's them. Different, that's different. It's different halacha. Different halacha. Okay, have a good Shabbos, everybody.
The comic star that last year, the Pesach last year with Trump.